Proverbs chapter 14, begin reading here in one verse, in verse 17. As the guys hand that out, we can read it while they're doing that, all right? Proverbs 14, 17. Notice the Bible says, "He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated." Interesting, isn't it? Let's read that together when I say begin, while the men continue to hand that out. Ready? Begin. "He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated." All right, let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for the day. It's just a joy to be here tonight. And we thank you for your word, the guide that you've given us for eternity and for this world. Lord, I pray as I preach the message that you've led me to preach tonight that you'd please help me. Please fill me afresh and anew with thy spirit. We pray that your word would go forth tonight with power and clarity and that it would fall upon receptive ears this evening. Amen. Lord, you said many times in your word, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And I pray all of us would be here tonight anticipating what you have for us, desiring to hear from heaven. We know you said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life." So we ask your blessing upon this time. Again, use me for your glory, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's a basketball player by the name of Draymond Green. Now, I have to confess, before I put this illustration together, I'm not a basketball guy, okay? One of the reasons for that is because wrestling season and basketball season were at the same time. And so I was not a basketball player. I was a wrestler. And so, plus, I wrestled 108 when I was a junior in high school. So you can imagine me thinking about basketball was not even on the plate, but I wrestled for years. So point is this, I don't know this man. It's something I read about him that I thought would pertain to this message that would be a help. Anyway, how many know the guy? Know of him, okay? Oh, you're heathens. You watch basketball? No, I'm kidding. But anyway, my understanding is he plays for the Golden State or played for the Golden State Warriors, four-time NBA champion, four-time NBA All-Star, two-time member of the All-NBA team, a two-time Olympic gold medalist, and in 2017, he won the NBA Defensive Player of the Year Award. What a player, from my understanding, everything I read, but Draymond Green has a serious, well-known problem, his anger. He's an angry man. In fact, one sports writer wrote an article entitled, quote, "Draymond Green's anger issues are getting old for Warrior vets." In other words, his players, his teammates were tired of them. Green has often gone on what they call profanity-laced tirades, they say. He's been in conflicts with his teammates, with his coaches, with the refs, with opponents, and even fans, everybody. He's been involved with many scuffles with opponents. He has kicked players in his anger. He has been suspended for his anger. He has been arrested for assault off the court because of his anger. Now, when asked about his anger issues, a reporter by the name of Lou Flavins, Green responded this way. He said, quote, "I think there's no secret that I am an emotional player. I wear my emotions on my sleeve. I play with that same emotion. Sometimes it gets the best of me and it doesn't work to my favor. But I am never going to change who I am. I'm going to approach the game the same way that I always do." You know, it sounds like this man, in my opinion, is making poor excuses for his anger issues, calling them an emotional, issue. That was, his emotions are on his sleeve and he's not going to change, making excuse after excuse for his behavior. But the truth of the matter is, many Christians do the same thing. By that, I mean we make excuses for our anger. Right. "Well, you know, it's my personality. Or I'm Italian. Or I'm from Jersey or New York or Chicago. You name it. That's why I'm the way I am." But, you know, it's become quite acceptable getting angry. at least in our culture. America is has become an angry nation. No doubt. I was reading an opinion piece by a man by the name of Jeremiah Jameson. It was entitled this, America's an Angry Nation. And it's true. He writes, is practically everyone in America angry? If not, it sure seems that way. For the last 3 or 4 decades, Americans have been programmed that way. Now, he traces it back to the 60s. He says in the 60s, it started with the anti-war movement. Hippies pretended to be righteously angry. During the 1970s and 80s, they had be assertive training, calling people to be more assertive and take your stand, provoking people to anger. In the 80s and 90s, angry humor took off in comedy clubs. Also in the 90s, political discourses took on a decidedly angry tone, and we know that has no doubt intensified over the years. Mainstream media, they fan the flames of anger in people. That's what they're doing. He goes on to say, if you don't believe that America is angry, sit at a traffic light for a while. Wait in a long line at the store. I just think back the other day. I was in Lowe's and the lines were long and there's one cashier and all of the self-checkouts were down and everybody's, you could tell, I mean, in about 2 minutes, everybody was complaining and they were mad. Why don't you hire some more people? Why don't you open up this line? What's wrong with this machine? It's busy here. Why don't we do this? On and on it goes. Be put on hold for more than a few minutes? How do we respond to that? Well, we're dealing with this subject tonight. Notice chapter 14 of Proverbs, verse 17, what we read. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. So notice the Bible says that if you're soon angry, you're dealing foolishly. I want to talk about that tonight. Now, we've been dealing with this series, Wisdom from Above. Of course, it's been taken from James chapter 3, where it gives us two types of wisdom, the wisdom of this world. It mentions in verse 15, it descendeth not from above. It's earthly and sensual and devilish. That's the ideas of this world, the things that they say are wise. Then you have, contrasting that, the wisdom from above. In verse 17, the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and hypocrisy. And again, the idea is we have a choice to make. Are we going to follow God's wisdom, or are we going to follow the way the world is? And that's what this series is about. And, of course, I base this series on one book of the Bible that is known primarily for giving us wisdom. I know the whole Bible's wisdom, but the book of Proverbs is no doubt the book of wisdom. Now, the book of Proverbs, we know, was penned by King Solomon under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to his son. The only son recorded in Scripture is Rehoboam. And the idea is he's penning to his son wisdom for life. Solomon, we know, was the wisest man in the world. And he's telling him of this wisdom that he needs as a young man to be successful, if you will, spiritually successful in his life. A matter of fact, if you'll glance back at Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 1, or look at verse 2, it tells us why he wrote the Proverbs. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. That's what it's for. And notice here in verse 5, this is the series, if you will, a wise man will hear. Amen. Not just listen, but put it into practice. Right. He'll hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. So the idea is a father imparting wisdom to his son. But really more than that, than just a book from Solomon to Rehoboam, it's an inspired book. It's breathed out by God. So if we make an application of that, we could say it is a book from our Heavenly Father to us, His children, those of us that know Him as Savior. Amen. Our Heavenly Father is telling us wisdom for life. Amen. Wisdom that we need. Now, we know that there's all kinds of ideas in this world about how to live life. But there is only one infallible place to obtain true wisdom. And that is from God and His Word. It's not from Oprah. It's not Dr. Phil. It's not talk radio. It is the Word of God. That's where we get wisdom. By the way, might as well throw this in here now since I have your ear. God's wisdom begins with knowing God. Right? Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. And we know God through receiving His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as our personal Savior. So wisdom begins with salvation. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you're not a wise person. You need to get saved tonight. That's the wise thing to do, because you cannot believe in God without believing in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot disconnect the two. John 12:44, Jesus cried and said, "He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me." Now, tonight we're here in Proverbs 14. We are looking at a word that appears for the very first time in the book of Proverbs, and that is the fifth word there in the verse. I was really careful with my counting. I'm not doing good with numbers tonight. But notice, "He that is soon angry." It is a word, anger. First time here in the book of Proverbs. And this verse is speaking of somebody, notice what it says, that is soon to anger. Or soon angry. Now, what does that mean? We're going to find out tonight. I'll preach on this subject this evening. Notice the wisdom of controlling your temper. Brother Cordry, this one's for you tonight. I'm telling you, it's right for you. You have a temper like many, I don't know. Anyway, you see, if you and I do not learn how to deal with anger and a temper and the potential that's in all of us, understand what happens. We eliminate our influence for Christ in this world,
right?
Or at least hinder it, I should say. So let's figure this out. What's this all about? Notice number one, if you would, please. The distinction of a soon angry person. Now, what does that mean? Let's talk, first of all, about this word anger. Now, the word anger is found in 228 verses in our King James Bible. 8 times it's found in the book of Proverbs. First time it's found, the word anger is found in chapter 15 and verse 1. Look right across the page. Maybe that's the way my Bible's set up. Notice it says, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." And so there it is, the first time in Proverbs, the word anger. The word angry, on the other hand, is found in 43 verses in our King James Bible, 5 times there in the book of Proverbs, and the first time here in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 17. Now, some Bible synonyms for the word angry or anger are words or phrases like this: exercising wrath, or being wroth. So you read those words, and those are other times in Proverbs. I didn't want to go through all that. But all those words, being wroth, anger, angry, exercising wrath, they all refer to being angry. Being angry. Now, throughout the Bible, we find examples of many people getting angry. Let's think of this. In Genesis 4:5, we find Cain was wroth with God, really, and his brother. That's the first time we find a person being angry in the Bible. Then in Genesis chapter 27 and verse 45, we find another example. Esau, you remember when his brother Jacob stole the blessing and so forth, his birthright, and he wanted to kill him. He was so angry at him. So we see another example at anger in the Bible. Moses, in Numbers 20 and verses 10 and 11, he got angry at the people, if you remember that story. King Saul, in 1 Samuel 20 and verse 30, got angry at his own son Jonathan as he sided with David. He got angry and he threw a javelin at him. 2 Kings chapter 5, we find Naaman, the leper, getting angry at Elijah. Of course, he told him to go down to the Jordan and dip and so forth, and he got mad at that. In 2 Chronicles 26 and verse 19, King Uzziah got angry when the priest had rebuked him for doing something he shouldn't have done, only the priest should have done. And so we find throughout the Bible, there's many, many more examples, but we find throughout the Bible many examples of people getting angry in the Bible. But you know, there's one person who gets angry the most in the Bible. You know who that is? It's God. God does. You know that anger is one of God's attributes. He's angry. 32 times in the Bible, it speaks of the anger of the Lord. 10 times in the Bible, it speaks of the wrath of God. So imagine our holy, perfect, righteous God, he gets angry. He gets wroth. He pours out his wrath at times. We find that again throughout the Bible. Psalm 7 and verse 11, God judgeth the righteous and God is angry with the wicked every day. And so we see, again, this idea of anger in the Bible. But the question is this, is it okay for me to get angry? I mean, God, we see, gets angry, and he's holy and he's righteous, so we get it's right for him to get angry. But how about me? How about these people that we read of, I just mentioned in the Bible a few minutes ago? Was it okay for them to get angry? What is the answer to that? Well, here's the answer. Yes and no. And you say, what? Right. Is it okay for you to get angry? Yes and no. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, let me just give you a verse that supports that. Ephesians 4:26, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. So how do we know when anger is okay and when anger is not okay? Well, let's find out. So let's look at, I know you're all looking around, you've been looking for that letter A. It is the definition of anger, all right? So let's talk about that first. How do we know if it's, well, let's talk about that. Anger is an emotion. That's what it is. You know what it's like when something happens and you get hot, right? You get angry at something. By the way, it's a God-given emotion. It is. Now, remember, some emotions aren't necessarily wrong. In fact, some emotions are sinful. Some emotions are not sinful. Some emotions can be either. Depending on what they are directed at and how they are directed. Now, anger is one of those. Let me give you some examples. For example, lust is always sinful. Okay? Pride is always sinful. Still, both of those emotions. Joy is never sinful. No, never sinful to be joyful. Peace is never sinful. Now, love can be either. Because if I love God and I love the brethren, I love my family, it's right. But if I love to sin, that's not right. If I love the devil, that's not right. That's wrong. That's a wrong emotion. Now, anger is the same way. It can be either depending on what we direct it at and how we direct it. And that's how we have to look at that tonight. So let's first look at the definition of anger. Notice this is, of course, Webster's 1828. I like to use that dictionary. It's a long one, so I wrote it down so you can look at it. Notice it defines anger this way. It is a violent passion of the mind, excited by a real or supposed injury. Sometimes you get angry because something was done to you. Sometimes you get angry because you think something was done to you. It's supposed, usually accompanied with a propensity to take vengeance or to obtain satisfaction from the offending party. Now, that's a mouthful, but I wanted you to just chew on that maybe a little bit later. Notice American Heritage of the English language, the dictionary, says it this way, a lot more concise. It is a strong feeling of displeasure or hostility. Now, I think we all understand what it is. It is an emotion that occurs when something happens that we don't like. Or that something happens if we see a wrong, or maybe some injustice or some cruelty, it stirs up anger. Maybe we are wronged. Maybe we hear of a wrong. Maybe we perceive a wrong. And when we see it or perceive it or we're wronged, it stirs us up. It agitates us. And that emotion that we feel when that happens is the emotion of anger. Now again, the emotion of anger is not necessarily wrong. It is what we do, how we respond, and how we react when that emotion flares up. That will determine whether it's sinful or not. I think it's okay to be angry at stuff. We should be angry at sin. We should be angry at things that are going on in this world. Watch the news for a little bit. You're going to get angry, right? But the thing is, again, nothing necessarily sinful about that, but it's what we do with that anger that can make it sinful. That's where we're at tonight. Now, God's anger is always right.
Amen.
God's anger is always justified. His anger is what we call a righteous indignation. His response to his anger is always right. His response is always just and holy and sinless.
Amen.
But ours isn't.
Right.
Ours isn't. It's not always right.
Right.
It's not always just. It's not always justified. As a matter of fact, this is one of the most difficult emotions to deal with when we get angry. Many respond more frequently wrong than we do right. So again, the Bible says, be angry, but sin not.
Amen.
I'll say it again that way. Be angry, but sin not. Be careful how you deal and I deal with that emotion, because we too often be angry and sin. But God says, sin not. And so that is, notice, the definition of anger. Letter A. Number one was distinction, if you missed that. Letter B, let's talk about the clarification of soon angry. So here we see in our text the phrase. Notice the Bible again says, he that is soon angry. Now that phrase, soon angry, is talking about those times when you and I overreact. It's talking about those times when we respond to things in a way that we shouldn't have. When we get angry and we sin. When our anger is, I'll put it this way, uncontrolled. So when we're talking about this verse here is saying, again, he that is soon angry, it is specifically talking of a person who gets angry quickly. They have a short fuse. They have a temper. They are easily offended. They can get mad. They can get mean. They can get ugly at the drop of a hat. In other words, it's someone, when something happens, it's almost like a switch is flipped. It's almost like a knee-jerk reaction. It's almost like a transformation from Dr. Jekyll to Mr. Hyde in a moment, or vice versa, I don't know. But anyway, that person becomes soon angry. So what he's talking about here in this verse, I'll put it this way, it's uncontrolled anger. It is someone who responds in a way that's wrong to a situation that stirs up anger in them. And notice what the verse says. It says, he that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. So God is saying that a person who, again, gets angry very quickly, that has that short fuse, that temper, that's easily offended, that is a mark of a fool. That's what God says. So understand something as we go, and I lay a little foundation here. It's not about getting angry. It's about what we do when we get
Amen.
Angry. So we see, number one, the distinction of a soon angry person. Its definition, its clarification. I hope you got it now. Then number two, let's talk about the display of a soon angry person. So it's interesting because the Bible has a lot to say about this kind of person. Somebody that is soon angry. Somebody that, again, has a uncontrolled temper. Proverbs 21:19 says this, it is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. Just saying. Proverbs 22:24, ladies, this one's for you. Make no friendship with an angry man. And with a furious man, thou shalt not go. I thought that was interesting because you used to think, well, anger, that mostly pertains to men. And perhaps it does statistically. But the truth of the matter is, it doesn't leave out women. Right. Women can get angry too. The Bible talks about, again, dwelling in the wilderness. It's better than with a contentious and angry woman. And don't make friendship with an angry man. So what does this uncontrolled anger look like? How do I know if I am responding wrong? How does a soon angry person respond when something sets them off? When something gets their goat? When something gets them upset? Well, they're angry. Anger can be displayed in two ways. Letter A is this. Their anger could be displayed in sinful actions. That can happen. And when something happens, you get upset, the switch gets flipped, and you decide to react in a wrong way. We could actually do things that are sinful, that are sinful actions. Sinful actions is really the most alarming response. And you'll see what I mean here, I hope, in a moment. Because a soon angry person can be a violent person. They sure can. I think one example in the Bible is found in Genesis 34. Let's go ahead and go there. I wasn't going to go there, but we'll go there. Genesis 34. Do you remember when Jacob had brought his family to the place Shechem? And they stayed there for a little bit. And his daughter, Dinah, was defiled by the man whose name was Shechem. Hamor's son was Shechem. That place was named Shechem as well. Do you remember what Simeon and Levi did? When they heard that their daughter was defiled by this man, they got angry. They were soon angry. And that anger was displayed by violent actions. Look at verse 25 of chapter 34. And it came to pass on the third day when they were sore that two of the sons of Jacob, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brethren, took each man his sword and came upon the city boldly. Look what they did. And slew all the males. And they slew Hamor and Shechem, his son, which the edge of the sword, and took Dinah out of Shechem's house and went out. The sons of Jacob came upon the slain and spoiled the city because they had defiled their sister. They took their sheep and their oxen and their asses and that which was in the city and that which was in the field and all their wealth and all their little ones and their wives took they captive and spoiled even all that was in the house. And Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, notice this is going to come into play a little bit later in the message. Ye have troubled me to make me stink among the inhabitants of the land, among the Canaanites and the Perizzites, and I being few in number, they shall gather themselves together against me and slay me, and I shall be destroyed, I and my house. And they said, should he deal with our sister as with a harlot? Now what they did was wrong. Right. I'm not saying what was done to the sister wasn't wrong. That was absolutely wrong. But what did they do? They got angry and they responded with sinful actions in a violent way. Go over to Genesis 49, if you would, and verse 5. When Jacob, on his deathbed, is talking about his sons and prophesying about them and talking about their character, notice what we read in verse 5 when he talks about Simeon and Levi. Notice, Simeon and Levi are brethren. Instruments of cruelty are in their habitations. O my soul, come not thou into their secret, unto their assembly, mine honor. Be not thou united. Here it is. For in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they dig down a wall. You may have thought when you read that story, yeah, that's what I would have done. My sister, I would have stuck up for her. They were dead men. It was wrong. God says it was wrong.
Amen.
It was a wrong thing to do, the wrong way to do that. Their anger was out of control, so much so that they murdered a whole city. You know, Cain was the same way. We read in Genesis 4, 5, and Cain was very wroth and his countenance fell. We know why. God did not accept his offering, accepted his brother's offering, and he's thinking and stewing inside of what happened. He was very wroth at the situation, very wroth probably at God and definitely at his brother. What did he do in response to that anger? Be ye angry and sin is what he did. He went out and he slew his own brother out of anger. You see, people who are soon angry people are ticking time bombs. They are sticks of dynamite. They are seething pots ready to explode. Choose your metaphor, but they are. And the moment something doesn't go their way and they get upset, what they do if they're soon angry people is they erupt in sinful ways. And their uncontrolled anger, really these actions I'm talking about here, can be displayed in many, many ways. We see this many times. For example, I don't have this as a blank, but this could go under A. Sometimes soon angry people, they destroy property and items. They get mad, they get angry, and so what do? They start punching holes in the walls. They start breaking windows. They throw things like dishes and silverware or glasses or books or something. They destroy things. That's how soon angry persons react. Sometimes they react by slamming doors. Sometimes they react by storming out of the house. Sometimes it's verbal abuse towards others, yelling and screaming at their spouse or at the kids or at the dog or whatever, just getting that anger out. And God forbid, sometimes even soon angry people resort to physical abuse with others, slapping and hitting and pushing and punching and even choking. Look at Shechem and Levi. Murder. Cain did that as well. My point is this. Uncontrolled anger can be destructive. Amen. By the way, a biblical spanking that's done by a soon angry person, if not done right, could turn into an abusive rage. And that could be trouble. You see, these are all marks of someone that has a serious anger problem. So again, it could be displayed by sinful actions. And then letter B, it can also, you say, well, it's not me, preacher. I don't throw anything. I don't slap anybody like that. Not me. Well, you know what? It can be done in more subtle ways. It can be displayed by subtle attitudes. You know, there are some subtle marks of a soon angry person. And again, they may not resort to physical violence, but they can use other means. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? And you may want to write these down in that little blank under the B. They could be displayed by verbal tones. The tone of your voice. The way you speak to your spouse. The way you speak to children. The way you speak to people. You say, well, I don't throw anything. No, but you're throwing harsh words at people. The tones that you're using, it's evidence of a soon angry person. It could be the volume that you use. Tones and volume with a child can be very destructive. More about that later. Yelling and screaming, sharp tones. It could be facial expressions. Looks that could kill. Eyeballs that pierce. You know how that is, right? Again, these are all ways that a soon angry person can display their anger. Again, it can be by sinful actions, physical things, or it can be by subtle attitudes. But boil it down and you have an issue with dealing with anger. And it's hurting people. Which brings us to the next one. But let me ask you this. Do any of those things sound familiar? I hope not, but they may. Now, I grew up in a home. My dad had a little bit of an anger problem. He did. I'm grateful that none of the boys, none of us did. And we're going to see that's a miracle in and of itself. Because he would. He could snap in a second. Something happened and he'd grab the belt. He'd come running after us. You know what I mean? And that's not the way to deal with things. It's not right. It's very hurtful. It's very destructive, which brings me to point number three, and that is this, the destruction of a soon angry person. You may think, well, it's just me. It's no big deal. You're like that basketball player. Well, I'm just an emotional guy, and that's how I express my emotions, and nobody's going to change me. Well, you better ask God to change you, because you're doing destruction to people.
Right.
You're hurting people. You say, how so, preacher? Well, a person that does not control his or her anger does much destruction. Go back to our verse in Proverbs 14 and verse 17. Notice the second half. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. Notice, and a man of wicked devices is hated. So there's some ways that you destroy, some things you destroy. What does it do? Being soon angry, letter A, does this. It destroys relationships. Again, verse 17, a man of wicked devices is hated. I think that's a parallel to the first phrase. I don't think it's a contrast. I think it's talking about the same thing. That he that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, a man of wicked devices, he's a hated man. Proverbs 22:24 says this, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. God even tells us that. That if there's someone who can't control their anger, don't make friendship with them. Don't be a friend of them. Because it's going to be destructive. No, separate. Proverbs 29:22. An angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression. Listen, angry people are hard to deal with. They really are. And many times, angry people, and I'm talking about soon angry people, they're blind to their condition. They minimize their behavior, and they make excuses for how they respond. But nobody wants to be around an angry person. Do you? I don't. Drama is exhausting. It really is. And you get tired. You see, because everyone around an angry person has to walk on eggshells to try and appease that person. You don't want them to snap. Don't say the wrong thing. You better watch what you're doing. You better make sure everything happens just right. Everything's just perfect because you don't know how they're going to respond to that. And again, that's a tough thing to do. That's not a joyful place to be. What a horrible way to live, having to worry about everything you do because you're afraid about how somebody's going to respond. Because the smallest thing could set them off. You see, an angry person, a soon angry person, will eventually find themselves friendless. Because it'd be like walking in a boxing ring, you know, with your hands tied behind your back. And every time you walk in, you get punched, you know. Guess what? After a while, you're going to stop walking in that ring. You're going to say, this is not worth it. I'm not going to deal with it. They're going to find themselves friendless. And the only people that will be around them are those that have to be around them. Like a parent-child relationship or a boss-employee relationship. It destroys relationships, being an angry person. There's another thing it does. Letter B, it debunks your influence for Christ. 1 Corinthians 11:1, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. You know that you and I, if we are angry people, if we don't deal with anger the right way, we will forfeit our influence in the lives of others. That's why we're here. What are we here for? We're here to influence people for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're here to give them the gospel. We're here to encourage people that are saved to move forward in the Christian life. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:1, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. And so if you're a soon angry person, you'll be an example of what not to be like. That's what you'll be. So you'll debunk your influence for Christ. And then there's a third thing that happens with a soon angry person. It duplicates in others. It duplicates in others. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Be not deceived. Watch this. Evil communications corrupt good manners.
Amen.
In other words, if I'm around someone, I understand. We have a free will. We get that, right? The priesthood of the believer and all that. We make our own decisions. I'm responsible for me. I can't say, well, he made me do it or they. But I'll tell you what, there are some very powerful influences in people's lives. Parents, pastors, leaders, and that sort of thing. Right. Especially parents. And understand something, that if you are a soon angry parent, you're going to influence your children to respond to things the same way you do. If you fly off the handle at things in a moment's notice, you're going to influence your children to do the same thing. Be careful. If you're a soon angry leader, you will influence those under your leadership to be the same to those that they lead. It's like infectious is what it is. I've seen it in people. I've seen ministries where the leader was just mean, and it just was. And you see that in all the people around there. They're just mean. And it's like, what is this? They're angry at everything, you know. It is a sin. This soon angry sin is a sin that duplicates itself in those around us. And so understand, if we're the soon angry person, we're destroying things all around us. Right. We're killing the cause of Christ. So we see, number one, the distinction of a soon angry person. Number two, the display of a soon angry person. Number three, the destruction of a soon angry person. And then lastly, the directive to the soon angry person. Let's go to Proverbs 16. It's just a page over, I think, if you flip the page. Notice Proverbs 16:32. The Bible says, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city. Now mind you, who's penning these words? Solomon. Solomon. Who's his dad? David. David was a man of, I know, after God's own heart, but he was also a man of war. David could take a city. And Solomon says, yeah, my dad, he could take a city. Man, he could do it. What a warrior he was. Man, the Philistines, the giant, all that he did for God, praise the Lord for that. But there's something he did even greater than that. When he was sitting in that cave, in the corner of that cave, and Saul marched in and laid down and fell asleep, and all the things that Saul did to him no doubt made him so angry. And he probably thought, now's my chance. Even the guys around him said, here's your chance, David.
Right.
Kill him. And David said, no, I cannot do that.
Amen.
That's God's man.
Amen.
His own son said, that controlling his spirit was better than when he took the city.
Praise the Lord.
See, it takes more of a man to control your anger.
Amen.
Than it does to get angry. See, people think, well, yeah, he's a man's man. Nobody's messing with him. He's a weak man. Because a mighty man rules his spirit. And all of us can, especially those of us that know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. If you're saved here tonight, you can. You can. Stop with the excuses. You can control your response to things. If you simply yield yourself to the Lord. You see, how we respond is a choice.
Right.
It's a choice. And through Christ, we can rule our spirit. We can control our anger.
Amen.
As we submit to Him. We can respond to things in a Christ-like way. You say, how so? Well, realize what anger does. And then confess it as sin.
Amen.
And then ask God for help and yield yourself to the Lord. The fruit of the Spirit will be evident in your life.
Amen.
And by the way, it's not anger. Matter of fact, that's the works of the flesh.
Right.
Proverbs 19:11, the discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. You and I can control our anger with God. Amen.
The
wisdom of controlling your temper. Can I ask you something? I know in all of us, there's that Adamic nature that just wants to erupt all the time. It's there. But God doesn't want us to be that soon angry person. Amen. He wants us to have victory through him and respond to things. Yes, be angry, but sin not. Don't respond in a way that's causing destruction all around you, because not only will your family be hurt, but the cause of Christ will be hurt as well. Amen.